Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
This week we are continuing our Audible series where we're seeking to grow our capacity as individuals, as a church family, on how to hear God's voice. And if you are part of an anchor crew or one of those groups, you have access, and some of you are using the material that Randall has prepared called Audible. And I just would encourage you, if you haven't used that stuff or you haven't got a chance to hear some of Randall's teaching unfold online, I really believe that he is a person who has cultivated this discipline in his own life. I would say maybe is a leader on our staff team in really seeking to hear God's voice, and has a lot to offer us as a broader church family as we want to grow in this discipline. So he's invested a lot in that. I think you'll find it worthwhile. And it's all there, not just talking head, but also some exercises where you can practice and begin to experiment with some of this in your own life. And I always think it's valuable as we're considering this stuff, if you're like wondering where you can learn a little bit more, here are three books that I would commend to you. The one by Dallas Willard called Hearing God. I think Willard was one of the leading experts on spiritual disciplines, and his exploration of how people hear God's voice is probably one of the best, a little more academic approaches to this, but he's certainly one, I think, who can explain how it works. Jack Deere, this is an older book, Surprised by the Voice of God, someone who grew up and was educated in a church environment where there was probably suspicion where anyone can hear God's voice, and he has changed his perspective, and I think really speaks to those of us who've grown up in those wings of the evangelical church. And last but not least, Brad Jursak, a Canadian author who lives in the Lower Mainland. Those of you who fly in more charismatic circles or need to fly a little bit in more charismatic circles, that would be a good book for you to hear as he unpacks different ways that God speaks to us. And I would commend any of those resources to you. I think they're all available on Amazon, and you know how to get that. This summer, as we prepared for this series, we thought it would be good for us to consider some biblical stories of people who gained some experience in hearing God so that we could learn from them. We could maybe put ourselves in their shoes and, when appropriate, emulate their conversation, their interaction with the God who speaks. And I think among the best-known examples of someone who learned to hear God's voice is the prophet Samuel, who actually started picking up some of this when he was a child. So I want to invite us to go to that story, and it is in the book of the Bible that bears his name, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Again, for those of you who grew up on Bible stories, you're going to be familiar with this story. And if you've not heard it before, that's cool. Enjoy hearing Samuel's experience for the very first time today, beginning right at the beginning of the chapter. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned before by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning, and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son?" Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. My goal today is just simple. I want to pull a few, maybe four devotional thoughts for us based on what I think we can see and observe in this story. And I didn't even really know what I was doing as I was writing my sermon. And as I looked at it last night as I was complete, I'm like, okay, what am I trying to do with our time this morning? And really, I feel this is specifically directed at those of you who would go, "Yeah, I guess God speaks, maybe to special people, maybe to spiritual leaders, maybe to ancient people in biblical times, but I don't think that God actually speaks to normal people like me." And when I completed this, I'm like, actually, I think this is an appeal to you, if you are in that camp, to seek, using what I think is evidence here in this story and other places in Scripture, to maybe challenge that argument and call you to say, maybe God speaks to everybody, and maybe you too could learn to hear his voice. So let's see what Samuel's experience can teach us, and let's start with the most painfully obvious point, and that is this: God speaks conversationally with people. Now, I know that as people who live on the edge of the Rocky Mountains, you already know and believe, and if you are an outdoors person like me, you know that God is speaking to you through what he's made, through creation, through getting outside. Some of you are here today only because the weather is preventing you from being outside where you really want to be with God, let's be honest. I won't ask for hands because there will be too many of you putting them up this morning. But the Bible does indeed teach that God speaks to us through his creation. Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies," and especially the skies at sunset, sunrise, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Did some of you see those? "Those speak of the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them yet. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun." This is why many of us like to hear God when we're outside, because we see in what has been created the majesty of what God has made, and it speaks to us. God is speaking directly, revealing himself to us. But God actually does better than just a general sense of revelation in what he's made. That's why we call it, theologically speaking, general revelation. We also believe that God speaks specially to us through his written word. And if you keep reading Psalm 19, it'll go on to go from creation into what God reveals in the law, in the written word, verses 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. So God also reveals himself and speaks to people through the words of Scripture, which is why we're always founding on, like, how is your life reflecting a personal discipline of engaging in the words of the Bible? But that is where many Christians stop. Look, read your Bible, you'll read what God says, then do what the Bible says, and that's pretty much all you should expect when it comes to hearing God's voice. But the funny thing is, if you read the stories of Scriptures, if you actually observe the lives of people in the Bible who actually lived, you will see that in many of those stories, God speaks to them outside of them just reading whatever Bible was available to them at the time. Many of them knew God, heard from him as a person speaks to a friend. And God spoke to them that way, talked to them about what they cared about, what he thought of them, what he wanted to do in their life, and a little bit about what might be coming up in the next phase of their life. The Bible teaches us that we are to understand those people's experience in terms of what they experienced. It says that people like Paul and Barnabas and Elijah were human beings just like us, that Jesus himself knows about our weaknesses because he himself in every respect was tested just like we are. It means that their experience, including Jesus' own experience, is substantially like our experience. They were just regular people. We must, I think, pray for the same kinds of experiences and believe that God would, if he would be so kind of us, enable to have the same kinds of things happen to us. Again, some people will say, well, when the writing of the New Testament was completed, God stopped having conversations like that. It was just up until that time, then the canon was closed, and that's it. God doesn't talk conversationally anymore. But the evidence, in my opinion, for this is not compelling, especially because before Jesus left, he raised his disciples' expectation for interaction between God and people. And he said that when the Holy Spirit came, we should have more expectation of God taking up residence in our bodies and the capacity to hear his voice. So I would propose to you, I would ask you the question, if you're skeptical, how could it be that so many of our spiritual ancestors expected guidance from God on key decisions, that they enjoyed intimate friendship with God, that they had back and forth exchanges with him? And then, after all of those things in the past, in these times, in what Scripture would call the last days, God says to us, look, everything you need to know is in the book. Just read it. I have nothing left to say. Is that really what we believe in our time? And if so, I think we are missing out on the voice, the guidance, the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit who wants to be with us, speak to us as we go about our normal everyday course of life. God speaks conversationally with people. The second point, equally simple but equally self-evident, everybody gets to hear. I highlighted this last week, but I think it merits repetition. When we meet Samuel in chapter 3, he is a young kid. He is really an apprentice working under the supervision of Eli, the senior priest. in the tent, in the tabernacle, which was the temporary housing of the ark and the place where people really went to meet with God in those days. And at that time, God's voice was not commonly heard by his people. And we get that from verse 1, and we'll come back to why they weren't hearing in a second. So people in those days were not really hearing much of the voice of God. God's plan is to change the culture, and it does change because by the end of the story, by the end of chapter 3, we read this. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet. The Lord continued to appear, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. So after a drought, really, of people hearing God's voice, getting any kind of guidance whatsoever, God decided to change course, and he does it. Who does he pick to be his primary mouthpiece? A young kid. A teenager. A guy in his 20s. Yeah, Jason, but he's special. He's a prophet. And so these are unique circumstances, and his God-given abilities to hear what God was saying, well, they're unique. They don't apply across all times and spaces. And I would say you do have a point. I do agree that Samuel was specially appointed by God, and not everyone everywhere is, as a Christian, is called to be a prophet. And yet, again, if you read the stories of people in Scripture who hear God's voice, almost all of them don't think that they are special enough to qualify to hear God's voice directly. Let me give you some examples. Moses, this is in his calling when he met God at the burning bush. He heard God's voice for the first time. Listen to what he had to say. God said, "So now go, I am sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you." David, when God had a special thing to say to him about where he was taking his family, he met him, spoke to him in a profound way. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough, in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You, Lord God, have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men." The prophet Jeremiah, when he got his call, when God spoke to him and said, "Look, I'm going to start talking to you about stuff." This is what he said, this is what God said, and this was his response. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.'" Jeremiah's response, "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you." Each of them, each of these people, and there are others, we can get into the New Testament, it would seem that each of them said, like, "You know, I am not fit to hear directly from God." And yet they did. And I believe that people who are in God's family through faith in Jesus, they get to lay claim to the same privileges. Now, we would need to qualify that. It does seem that humility is a precondition to hearing God's voice. That is, we don't pretend to be someone we're not. We don't presume that God owes us any kind of special experiences or abilities. And we don't push ourselves on God or on other people because we believe somehow we have an inside spiritual track. But with the right attitude, with listening ears, I believe everybody is invited to the table. and consider what God brought Samuel into. When God told this young kid, wasn't the most beginner kind of message. This wasn't like something he got that was super little basic, like, oh, God loves you. When what he brought Samuel into was scary. It was a message of judgment for his boss's sons. It was significant. Hophni and Phinehas were influential spiritual and political leaders, and their deaths would have massive implications on the politics of Samuel's country. It wasn't a little kiddie message that God revealed to him. God was bringing Samuel into his confidence and treating him as a legitimate friend, as a legitimate partner in life. And so if you are young this morning, if you are new in your spiritual life, I would encourage you not to like say, well, you know, this is like an advanced spiritual skill. This is something for people who've been Christians for decades and decades. This is for people who are older, who have lots of ministry experience. I think everyone gets to hear. I encourage you to lean in wherever you are in your spiritual journey, expecting God to take you seriously, your dreams, your questions, your capacity to listen. God takes that seriously, and he will not treat you with kiddie gloves. Everybody who opens their ears has the capacity to hear. Number three, there are specific reasons you might not hear God's voice. I wonder if lots of us aren't hearing simply because we don't expect to. And it's possible because of the spiritual condition of people in Samuel's day that not many people were expecting to encounter God either. But there are some clues in the story as to why people might not have been hearing. The biggest one I'm going to label as character issues. Samuel arrives on the scene at the end of the time in the book of Judges, and the way that season in Israel's history is summed up at the very end of the book of Judges is something like, and people did whatever they felt like doing. That is to say, in Samuel's time, listening to God and doing what God said was not on anybody's priority list. Much later in history, hundreds of years after Samuel's time, the prophet Amos dropped heavy criticism against the people of Israel for corruption and social injustice and dishonesty. And guess what God's judgment was for these character issues? It was a famine on hearing God's word. This is what judgment Amos gave over God's people. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. There's actually a massive clue in 1 Samuel itself, specifically directed at Eli's sons, that has to do with character issues. This is chapter 2, verse 12. And this is how the Bible sums up Eli's sons. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. The sins that typically plague religious leaders like myself, there's the big three: money, sex, power. They were spreading uncontrolled in these leaders' lives. Character issues. In other parts of Scripture, we are warned that our internal motivations can keep us from hearing God properly. Consider James 4. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God, and when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So it's possible to genuinely desire the capacity to hear God's voice, but our internal motivations sabotage us from the inside and God can't speak. We want the magic powers so we can manipulate God to do to manipulate others and get them to do what we want. But that's not how God has set this up. The capacity to hear is designed to function in the hearts and lives of people who are aligned with God's heart and God's purposes. Here's what Dallas Willard says about that. God's guidance is not a gimmick that we can keep on tap for our gain. It is not there to enable us to beat our competitors. We cannot invoke it to help us win bets on football matches or horse races, or to prove that something is theologically correct. While it is available to every person who walks with God, it is not at our disposal as we see fit without regard to the purpose of God's government. Hearing God as a reliable day-to-day reality for people with good sense is for those who are devoted to the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. When our lives are devoted to the will of God, he has reason to speak to us. If our lives are not devoted to his purpose, he may still speak to us, even use us to his ends if we are strategically placed. After all, we are his creatures, no matter how misguided or rebellious. But for a willing walk in conscious, loving cooperation with God, we must come to grips with the issue: what am I living for? So, friends, let's look under the hood today. What are you living for? What are you really after in life? What are your behaviors, your thoughts, your motivations? Who are you when no one is watching? Might your character be sabotaging your capacity to hear God's voice? And if so, are you willing to come clean with him? Is there something that needs realignment in your heart even before you get to learning how to hear God's voice? And how will you bring that stuff out into the open with him? They did not know the Lord. Now, what's interesting is that is almost the exact same phrase used to describe Samuel's inability to hear God. See if you can hear the similarity. It's in verse 7. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. It wasn't that Samuel had character issues like Eli's sons. It's just that he had not yet gotten to know God. And so another reason you may not be hearing is not because you lack character, but because you simply haven't learned how. Samuel had to learn what God's voice sounded like. He needed more time apprenticing under Eli and other people who could explain to him how this worked. He had to grow in his familiarity with the Bible as it existed in his time. He just needed some practice learning a new skill. And so will you. Have any of you learned a new language at one point in your life? If you have, you know it's hard. You make mistakes. You mispronounce stuff. You hear someone say one thing and you totally mistranslate that and hilarity ensues. Here's a couple mistranslations that I looked up this week. As you seek to learn to listen to God's voice, you will experience the same deal as you gain fluency in a conversational relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just like Samuel, you won't always get it right the first time. It takes time to tune your ear to God's voice. You need to be in a community of trustworthy people who can guide you along and share their experiences and their practices. If you want to figure out a new language, if you want to learn French and you want to do it all on your computer first and practice and parse every verse, word, figure everything out on your own, it will take way longer to learn the language. The people who learn languages faster are usually the ones who are not so self-conscious, who don't need to figure it out on their own first, but they just go and start practicing and making mistakes without caring as much. I would suggest it will be the same deal as we seek to hear God's voice and learn the language ourselves. I myself have been working at this consciously for the past 4 months or so, and so I've just started writing stuff down. God, what do you think about X? And then I seek to write down what I sense him saying. And I can promise you it's not always something gigantic. I'm not always clear on what God is saying, but I have been surprised at how often it is clear and I do actually hear. You might not yet hear God because you're just too scared to actually give it a try, and you might actually just not know how it works. But good news, and this is the last lesson we'll draw this morning, the good news is that those who want to learn will find God a patient teacher. Look how patient God is with Samuel here. This kid doesn't have a clue what God's voice sounds like, how the mechanics work, but he keeps coming back, and God is happy to keep speaking because he is a good father who loves to give good gifts to his kids. And what dad wouldn't honor his daughter's request just to have a better two-way conversation? You know this, right? Hebrews 11. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, friends, why not earnestly seek him out? Why not tune your ear to his voice? And I figured, since we are here and you're not going to hear his voice in the mountains right now, why wouldn't we just take 5 minutes to do that together? And so we failed to get you the pencil and 3x5 when you came in, but you should have one there. I'm going to invite Rianne just to come and help us do a little spiritual exercise. Take your card and your pencil. If you really are more of a digital person and you're not going to go check NFL scores quite yet, you can use your phone. But I'm going to put three questions on the screen. Pick one. And again, I know some of you are freaking out. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if God would speak to me. What if I get it wrong? Look, Samuel didn't have a clue, and God spoke to him. So we could trust that we're dealing with the same God this morning. And let's give it a try. So pick a question and write it at the top of your card. Address it to God. God, what do you like about me? Or what do you see when you look at me? Or what part of my character would you like to change? And Rand's going to play, and we're going to take, I don't know, 4 minutes, a little more than is comfortable for you right now. And I just encourage you to get in a listening posture, and you don't need to fake it. You don't need to, like, pretend that you're some kind of expert or demand it from God. But just in a humble attitude, let's take some time to hear his voice this morning. Those of you who are at home, if you got paper, a device, something, I just want to invite you to join us and participate where you are. If you are with someone this morning and you're done, why don't you venture out and maybe just share the question that you asked and what you heard. And if you're on your own, you could see if there's anyone there who can talk to you at a distance, or just keep listening to God. But one, just a little conversation, if you would, a question you ask, and if you heard anything, and if it's like, I got nothing, that's okay. If you're here in the room with me, I would invite you to stand for prayer. Father, we believe, we say all the time that you're a good father. What kind of kid would believe that their dad is good, but they never get to hear him talk? And we would just ask for a good gift in our broader community, as we are your people at this time, that we would just have a greater capacity to hear you. Give us inquisitive hearts. Give us courageous hearts. Give us faith to believe that you exist and that you like to give good gifts to your kids. And for sure, would you grow in us the capacity to read your word and hear your will for us, to be well-versed in the verses. But I also pray for our ability in the regular moments as we're raising our kids, as we're doing our jobs, as we're dealing with the stressors of life, that we could do that in conversation with you. And if nothing else comes out of this sermon this morning, I just pray that you would open our ears a few more inches, that we would actually have expectation that we might encounter you and hear your voice in regular stuff, just like this kid in doing his job as an apprentice started to hear from you. Would you grant us the same kind of gift? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.